Joining us on this episode of Banking on Kansas City is Maria Myers, the Vice Provost and Executive Director of the UMKC Innovation Center and the founder of SourceLink. Maria is passionate about building entrepreneurial communities, and we're going to talk with her today about some of the initiatives that are underway to do just that. Welcome, Maria.
Hi, Kelly. Great to be here.
Well, you know, there's just so many places that we could start this conversation, but let's start with SourceLink. That's really where it all began. It's where I first got to know you. Give us an overview of SourceLink's mission.
SourceLink's mission is pretty darn simple. Just make entrepreneurship easier. So really what we want to do is help communities develop an infrastructure that just makes it easier to be an entrepreneur, helps entrepreneurs get all the resources that they need to start and grow and develop businesses.
Tell us a little bit about how you go about doing that, though, through SourceLink. You've got a really pretty elaborate website of resources, and you've got the navigator, which is central to pulling all those resources together. So describe that for us a bit.
Well, one of the things that we think you need to do in a community to get started is just identify everything that's there. And we often find that there's a lot there and people can't find it.
Exactly.
And so you really have to make what's there visible to the community and to the resources that are there themselves. How do you connect them together and make them visible? And helping the resources and the entrepreneurs work together starts to develop connectivity between the groups. And then you can begin to see that there's actually a path through a system of resources that can help get a business started and help them grow.
Yeah, and Kansas City is amazing. How many are we up to now in terms of resources here that actually have helping strengthening entrepreneurship as their mission?
Today in Kansas City, KC SourceLink is a network of 240 plus organizations that are supporting entrepreneurs here. We have a very active and vibrant entrepreneurial community here in Kansas City.
No question. I travel a lot, as you do too, and I go into larger cities and meet with business people, and I tell them what we have here, and they're just awestruck, and they're like, wow, we wish we had something like that here, and I'm sure you get the same thing.
We do. It's really interesting that people say, wow, everybody there seems to know what each other is doing, and that you're connected, and that you're all
collaborative
and on the same page, and working forward to help your entrepreneurs. And it's hard to find that.
Yeah. So if I'm a business owner, because as you say, there are so many that are out there still struggling, going it alone and don't need to be. So if I'm a business owner, and as a result of this podcast, I go out and look up SourceLink and find the navigator, what will I find and how will I use it to get in touch with the resources I need?
Well, there's lots of ways to use KC SourceLink. Mm-hmm. You can go to kcsourcelink.com and you'll find all kinds of information there. How do I get started? How do I get funded? What are the resources that are out there that can help me with what my particular issue is? So we have that. And on the website itself, you can sort of sign up and say, I'd love a personal action plan. Here's where I am with my business. And if you could send me the resources that'll most help me, you can sign up for that. You can also call us on our hotline number. And we have people on the phones all day long that help people understand what the resources are. They're going to really help them where they are at this moment.
Yeah. So as you say, 240 some out there all waiting to help small businesses, entrepreneurs. It's a great resource. You know, since founding SourceLink, you've been involved via SourceLink through UMKC and other organizations that you're a part of with other initiatives that bolster and track entrepreneurial-related activity, because it's great to have all these resources, but then you have to measure the activity in Kansas City. And there's six in particular that you've focused on to measure Kansas City's progress toward the KC Chamber's goal of making Kansas City America's most entrepreneurial city. So let's start with capital, because I know that's one that you've really doubled down on.
Sure. We took a look at, as you mentioned, when the chamber said, let's make Kansas City America's most entrepreneurial city, we took a look at what is that going to take?
You know, right.
We got to go somewhere. So what does that mean? What does it take? And we talked to our resources and we talked to our entrepreneurs and we talked to people and said, so what do we need here? One of the strongest things that came out was access to capital. Our entrepreneurs needed to know where they could go to get the funding to start and grow their businesses. And we were kind of in that situation where people were saying, hey, there are no good deals. From the investor side and from the entrepreneur side, saying there were no good investors. And so we needed to figure that out. We needed to figure out how we were going to bring these groups closer together and develop some good funding for them. And what we found was that there's kind of a continuum of capital, and it doesn't matter what kind of business you are. When you're starting, you need startup capital.
Exactly.
And when you're growing, you need growth capital.
Exactly. And there is a difference.
And there is a big difference.
Yeah.
And then capital is dependent on what kind of business you're running as well. Some people will trade ownership, equity for investment, and others are really better off with the banks and the system of loans that can happen. And so we looked at what would it take to build this continuum of capital that we needed from startup to growth for debt, grants, equity, all of it to see what would happen. And we actually put a report together back in 2015 that said, wow, here's what's missing. Here's what we need to do. And these are the things we need to do to make this better. What was really interesting about that report was that we had good investors. We had good deals. The connection between them just didn't exist.
Exactly. And so you've been integral in making the introductions, I guess.
That's right. Yeah. And the other thing that was really cool about this particular effort was, you know, once we released the report, we had so very many people in Kansas City step up and say, hey, we're going to do something about this.
That leads me to something else, which is corporate engagement. You mentioned six initiatives. You knew that the capital part was weak, that there was a need there, a gap there. But corporate engagement also had some issues that you needed to look into. So talk to us about what you're doing in that area.
Sure. Corporate engagement is an area that we found was weak, just like the capital to begin with. And we've watched this. We've tracked capital of people. Now the perception is, yes, we're moving along nicely in capital. Got some time, some ways to go, but we're getting there. And in corporate engagement, it still continues to be perceived as weak. And so the question there is, what does corporate engagement mean? How are
exactly.
we going to define what corporations look at?
And how they can plug
in. And where they play. And so we've done some work in the past year to really take a look at that issue. And we will have another report coming out here soon called We Create Corporate Engagement.
You do a lot of reports, but as you said, you have to measure.
Yeah. So, but it'll help create sort of a framework of discussion. And what we do know is corporations are certainly involved quite a bit in Kansas City in entrepreneurship. They're everything from sponsoring events, and we have a lot of great partners that are helping to bring people together through the events that variety of groups run in Kansas City. But also we're seeing them engage in accelerators and programs that are working directly with trying to find companies that can help solve their problems. So we see that. We see them investing in companies. So there's actually quite a bit. One of the areas that is intriguing to me, because all of those sound like they cost money, is the fact that what entrepreneurs could really use is some of the industry knowledge that sits inside of those corporations.
They've paid the big bucks to do the research.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what are some of the big things that are coming down the pike in 5 to 10 years that people would love to know?
Exactly. Now, you have four other areas. You mentioned talent a little bit when you talked about the jobs. So tell us what the other four are and how you're... I know that the capital and the corporate engagement have been your top priorities, but what are the other four and how have you started to address those?
Sure. The other four are talent, pipeline of innovation, awareness, and resources. Resources we've been attacking since 2003 when we started KC SourceLink. Yeah. And Kansas City has a well-connected and perceived to be good, from our entrepreneur perspective, a really good group of resources. And, you know, we are lucky to have the Kauffman Foundation here in our area, as well as all the many different resources that support the entrepreneurs. So that's been helpful. Awareness of Kansas City as an entrepreneurial market is fascinating, because in 2013, we did not meet or make any of the top 10 lists in the country. And now you can't read a top 10 list that we haven't been in.
Oh, I know. It seems like every other month there's a new list that comes out
listing.
Kansas City is right there.
Yeah. We are the number one top city for millennial entrepreneurs, for example, right now. And so we've really made the world aware that Kansas City is a place to do entrepreneurship in a very short period of time. So we're excited to see that. And that is really a lot of help and work from a lot of people in the community that are really talking about entrepreneurship.
Exactly.
And talking about it here, but also as they're traveling, they're talking about it outside of our community as well.
No question. What's this pipeline of innovation?
So pipeline of innovation is interesting. A lot of people say, oh, we should measure how many patents are being delivered out of a market to decide if the market is innovative. And we're taking a look at it a little bit differently. We actually, through Whiteboard to Boardroom, which is a program that connects about 21 research institutions to entrepreneurs, is there. And we can actually see the projects that are coming out of the universities and some of our research institutions. And we can track those and better understand what innovation is really not only there, but it's being commercialized.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know how many people are aware of it, but if you look at the SBA stats, you see that it's entrepreneurs, it's small companies that are getting the most patents. You usually think about that in the big research and development departments of corporations, but it's the smaller businesses that are really driving the patents and the innovation, whether you define it as you do or in other ways.
That's right, Kelly. It's amazing how many patents come out. And also you'll find that a smaller company will tend to be developing that patent, whereas a larger company may have it on the shelf, but it's not hitting the priority of the development at the time. And so you will see a lot of activity in those small businesses.
Exactly. How are you measuring the progress? You said you measure everything and you have these reports, but what goes in? What do you analyze for those reports?
We pick up information about entrepreneurs from a lot of different places in order to put it into the reports. We, from the jobs perspective, we have a data set that comes from the states of Kansas and Missouri that we're able to do some analysis on to see where the jobs are coming from. We run a hotline and we get primary information from a lot of people that call the hotline, and we'll probably work with 2,500 to 3,000 entrepreneurs
a year. So it's a good sample.
It's a good sample. And there we can really hear the needs, right? People calling in and saying, I need help with business planning, or I need financing. Lately, what's really come up a lot lately is I need help with, I'd love a mentor. So mentoring is really becoming a buzzword in this world.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the different types of entrepreneurs. You know, we just talked about launch versus growth. You know, there are various types of entrepreneurs, and given that diversity, how do you ensure that all of these many hundreds of programs that are available support that group? You know, that there's not too many of one, and that there aren't gaps where there's some stages that are completely left out. How do you work within that?
Sure. We really look at four different kinds of entrepreneurs and this is developed. It's been our taxonomy that's kind of developed over time based on looking at resources and listening to the people that are calling us or that we're talking to. And basically the four types are, we have our micro enterprises, which are, they start small, they stay small. And it might be a daycare in the home, or it might be somebody who's left a larger company and started a consulting firm. And they are great businesses, but they're not going to hire lots and lots of people.
And
they don't want to.
Right.
That's really about 74% of our businesses. Mm-hmm. So it's a very large percentage of the businesses out there. Then we have our Main Streeters, which are lining the streets of our city and our towns, and their independent restaurant, retail, doctor's offices, lawyer's offices.
Primarily services.
Yeah. They grow to wherever the owner wants to grow them to. And that's about 24%. So you're looking between the 74 and the 24. That's a lot of businesses out there.
Yeah, covers most of them. Yeah, there's what, that's two, leaves 2% for the other,
right?
The last
much.
Two stages that you're going to talk about.
Right. Yeah. So second stage companies are the companies that have figured out their processes. They might have 10 to 99 employees, 5 to 50 million in revenue, and they just have owners who are ready to grow. They're just going to grow that company. And they're an excellent group to have in your community because jobs are being created rapidly. They're the ones that are getting some additional financing and they're moving forward. And then the 1% of innovation led, or the tech company that we all talk about, is really only about 1%. Mm-hmm. And we also talk a lot about venture capital and equity, but it's only about 1% of that 1% of the companies. And so we talk a lot about innovation-led companies, tech companies, and we do have a great set of resources to support that. Those companies can start small and grow very, very rapidly. So they're of great interest.
Yeah, they tend to do one of two things, don't they? They either grow rapidly and perhaps get bought out by a larger firm or you know, stay and continue to grow, or they fail pretty quickly.
That's right. They fail, they pivot, they change.
Right.
People are ready to try it. And if they can't hit the market, or the market shifts or something, then they'll move out of it rapidly.
So we have four stages of businesses, but as I said, they all have different needs. So how do you ensure that among the hundreds of resources that we have here, that one market, or not one market, but one stage isn't being overserved, and then there's a gap with another stage?
What we found, Kelly, is honestly that resources cluster around the type of business that they serve. And so there really are different lines, if you will, of support depending on what kind of business you are. And so you'll find tech businesses hanging around researchers and equity funding and events that are pulling together other technical people. You will see that versus a small micro enterprise or a main streeter where they're really working with the banks and the micro lenders and a whole different set of financing, for mm-hmm. instance, but also a different set of resources because the leadership needed to run, say, a second stage company is going to look different than the leadership needed on a smaller company. And so what we really find is that, and we've developed the resource rail to prove this,
right.
is that depending on what kind of business you are, you can take a different track through the infrastructure that exists to support the entrepreneur.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is that the resources are out there. It's like what you said earlier. You need to make sure that they just get connected with the right groups need to get connected with the right groups. It's there. What are we talking about in terms of numbers with those last two groups? 2% between mm-hmm. the two of them, and accounts for about 2% of businesses, small businesses in Kansas City. But in terms of actual numbers.
So it's about, we actually have about 3,000 of each of them. So it's a good size. And actually mm-hmm. Kansas City runs a little bit higher than the regular market. So they're at about 3% tech. So we actually are seeing a lot of tech companies developing here in the region compared to some other places. And we have about 6,000 of those.
Okay. So a good number there. You and Kate Hodel wrote a book on building entrepreneurial communities. It's called Beyond Collisions, How to Build Your Entrepreneurial Infrastructure. So what's the message of that book? Why'd you write it?
Why did we write the book? Because Kate made me.
Yeah, you didn't have enough other things to do, did you?
That's right. Yeah. No, so what we found is that there is kind of a process for doing this, and we thought it might be good to put that in a book. And we've worked with lots and lots of different communities, and so we got to interview those communities and stick them in the book. So it's a pretty quick read. But we believe that you can identify your assets, connect them together, understand what the gaps are, empower people to fill the gaps, and then measure what you do. And it's a really nice process for trying to figure out and measure what is in your community. And we think everything needs to link together. So this is about somewhat the messiness of making people link together, but also some processes around how to build that infrastructure for your entrepreneurs. And we captured it in a book. And like I said, there's some great stories of people and the work that they've done and how they got the work done.
Yeah. And this is holding true no matter what kind of a community it is, no matter what size it is, or the mix of businesses within the community, it still holds up?
It does. It's actually quite interesting. We tell people you need to kind of win where you stand. So what do you have in your community that you can build upon? And once you kind of take a look at that, what are the strengths of your community and what is significantly important to your community, and then start building from that, then we see that this actually works quite well. We're actually using the same methodology in some other communities of interest right now as well.
Such as?
Experiential learning. We just helped map the
education,
yeah. Affordable housing, mm-hmm. autism caregiving. There are a lot of communities of interest that have organizations that are collectively trying to work together to make a change.
Yeah. So the model you've created crosses over industry.
That's
amazing.
Yeah, it does.
You know, your work in Kansas City, as you have said, has become a model for other cities. And as I've learned today, even a model for other industries. So tell us about how your model is being adopted in other places, the outcomes. I know your book addresses some of this, and how that expansion into other communities is actually raising up Kansas City.
We've had a lot of fun going around the community, and right now we're active in about 50 different communities around the country, and everyone is different, and everyone has just amazing people and passionate people around building their community. And, you know, we go in always the same way. Let's see what your assets are, and let's see how we can pull them together. And you know, we do say when we stand quite a bit. So we have a lot of fascinating affiliates that we work with. So Colmena 66 is our partner down in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And it covers the whole Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. And they got hit by a hurricane.
Exactly. Right? I was going to say, you guys probably had a lot of work to do there after that. Yeah.
And it was interesting because we had gotten the system in play prior to the hurricane, and they were one of the very first groups that was able to respond to what was needed after the mm-hmm. hurricane. And one of the very first things that they did across the Commonwealth was simply to put a list on their website of the businesses that were actually open, because nobody knew who was open
right.
and who wasn't open. And they've been a fantastic partner with us, an affiliate. They have some fantastic work that they're doing on their measurements. Their annual report is amazing to take a look at, and it's been a really fun group to work on.
Yes. So the last part of my question, as you go out and engage in these communities, how is that actually raising up Kansas City?
Well, you know, what's interesting is as we're out engaging in the communities, people know that this is emanating from Kansas City, that there's something going on in Kansas City because the thought leadership is sitting in Kansas City. And so people are beginning to look at Kansas City as the place to go find out how do you do entrepreneurship. And we certainly have the Kauffman Foundation, which is a great thought leader as well. And so all of this begins to make Kansas City look like it's the place for entrepreneurship. And most, when we're in as many communities, for instance, as we are, and there are other efforts coming out of Kansas City as well, the economic developers really look at that and go, well, Kansas City's making this happen here and there. And so you're really talking to a lot of economic developers across the country, letting them know that, hey, we know what we're doing here in mm-hmm. Kansas City, and people are listening.
Yeah. And your reports bear it out. Right. So, you know, you're doing great work here in Kansas City and abroad in many different industries now, it sounds like. If someone wants to get a copy of these reports, do you need to get on a list? Can they go find them online somewhere? How do they do that?
Our reports are at wecreatekc.com. And okay. You can download all of them and read all about it.
WeCreateKC.com. Go on out there, download the report, and get into the nitty-gritty detail, because there's some fascinating outcomes that have been happening. Thank you, Maria, for everything that you've been doing for Kansas City, you and your team. And we really appreciate you stopping by today to be on this episode of Banking on Kansas City.
Thank you.
This is Joe Close, president of Country Club Bank. As Maria says, SourceLink's mission is darn simple: to make entrepreneurship easier. Throughout KC and in other cities, they work to ensure there are accessible resources for all different kinds of entrepreneurs in hopes of creating a collaborative community. With the multitude of diverse businesses, whether they are tech, Main Street, Second Stage, or micro enterprise, and a multitude of resources available to serve them, a central point of collaboration helps strengthen businesses and accelerate growth. If you are an entrepreneur trying to get your small business off the ground or expanding your business, check out SourceLink's website at www.joinsourcelink.com and find out how to join their network of ecosystem builders. Thanks for joining us this week. We're banking on you, Kansas City. Country Club Bank, member FDIC.